having been there a few times as a delegate, the lottery.
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever.
Well, only ever is an underage delegate.
So, well, what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Big story in world football. The Barcelona job is available at the moment, although there is a strong shout that there's one outstanding candidate that they are chasing. Graham Hunter is with us. Graham, good morning to you.
Hi, lads.
Xavi, is it a done deal? Is it close to being a done deal? Is there anybody else who might get this gig?
There was a list when Barcelona last thought about this. There's timing, isn't there? I've just got a message from Xavi. Gracias, crack, he says. So it's literally, honestly, I can't show you that. A nice little one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Look, there was a shortlist. There are other people that Joan Laporta has considered. But two, I think, really important things make this the most likely outcome. First of all, over the last 5 or 6 weeks, a relationship between Joan Laporta and Xavi Hernandez, for anybody who hasn't followed Xavi, he's coaching Al Sadd to multiple trophies in Qatar. People can clearly have their own views about life and work in Qatar at the moment. And you can also say, well, Qatar and Al Sadd aren't Barcelona. Fine. But it's an apprenticeship. It's been successful. He's changed the club. He's changed the playing style. But during the last couple of years, particularly in the build-up to the elections that saw Joan Laporta made president of Barcelona again this spring, there was a slight chill in the relationship, which had previously been very, very good. And that's partly because before Laporta declared that he wanted to come back and be president of Barcelona, Xavi had said that he supported another candidate, Victor Font. This was before Laporta was in the race. So the fact that Laporta has had his nose a little bit of joint about that seems to me to be petulant. And therefore, it has it cut down the possibility of appointing Xavi last May when he should have been appointed. And it was crystal clear he should have been appointed. And when Joan Laporta made it public, this is not a leaked story, he made it public that before confirming Ronald Koeman for this season, he'd have a good look around to see if there was anybody better. Which is, you know, way to manage a club, way to motivate a coach, but also you cannot allow players to think this coach has his jacket on a shaky nail. You can't do that. So the relationship in the last 4 or 5 weeks between Xavi and Laporta has become much more fluid, much more chatty. And while Xavi hasn't been campaigning for Koeman's job and would have preferred to see the season out, there are two particularly privileged journalists who have been making it clear that Xavi would come immediately, would take the job now. So those two factors, the change in the relationship and Xavi's willingness to come right now, means that he's by far the outstanding candidate. And only if something goes badly wrong is he not in charge soon. And possibly, this is speculative, I don't have this, it's not just that I don't have this inside information, this inside information doesn't exist yet. There is a feasibility that he could take charge for the absolutely crucial game away against Dinamo in Kiev next midweek.
That'll be quick, and that's what they need to do, isn't it? They need to get somebody in. If they're going to do Xavi, there's no point in messing around about like minor negotiations. If he's the guy, he's the guy. No, get him in.
Correct. And look, you asked me, so I'll give you my opinion. There is another candidate who I think is outstanding, and that's Luis Enrique. Luis Enrique coached successfully at Football Club Barcelona, got a little bit burned out because of the relationship with Messi, took him to the treble, was a successful manager, but is brilliant at playing, as you can see with the Spain side, brilliant at playing the style of football which made Barcelona over the last 20 years so much more successful than they'd ever been before. So much more loved, I think, outside their own city than they'd ever been before. Luis Enrique is still practicing that. He's one of the few in Spain who still is. He's working for the national team. He lives nearby, and the club is in his affections. I don't think he would leave the Spain job. I think he'd probably be wise at this stage not to leave the Spain job. But the reason you immediately said that would be quick with Xavi, there's no guarantees that automatically the thing that should happen in football will happen. And I've written an article for ESPN this morning with the little refrain, Mestion Club. It's a club in a mess. So whether it automatically is seen through properly, whether the financial difficulties that Barcelona are in hamstring them from able to being able to make the right move quickly. That's to be hammered out over the next few days. But they have a lifeline. They have a small possibility of qualifying for the Champions League group. They would have to win in Kiev. They would have to win at home to Benfica. They might even have to go to Munich and take something. Now, on last night's evidence, losing to the least resourced team in La Liga at the moment, Rayo Vallecano, losing in Vallecas for the first time in 2 decades, losing and running around like headless chickens, those types of things mean that it's a very slender lifeline in the Champions League. But the prospect of losing 40, 50, 60, 70 million euros by going out in the group is intolerable for a club that's in nearly 1.5 billion debt.
Could you put a little bit more meat in the bones, Graham, of Xavi and what you've seen from his apprenticeship at Al Sadd? Obviously, the results speak for themselves, but have you heard anything? Have you seen anything that suggests that Xavi will be able to handle that immediate pressure of needing to have some sort of European success in the short term?
I've been over there to watch him, to interview him, to go to his coaching ground. What you see is a guy coaching a team in a league whereby the various royal family sheiks divvy out. It's kind of like, and I know you're a fan of the draft, it's kind of like the team that needs a player should get a player. And therefore, if I've seen the situations with Sergio Garcia, who played for Espanyol and Zaragoza and won the European Championship with Spain in 2008, Xavi had him earmarked and one of the ruling families said, no, he's going somewhere else. So to be able to be pretty dominant in a situation like that, to be able to guarantee that he brought across Santi Cazorla, who's been outstanding. On Xavi's word, and having watched Santi, Xavi reckons that Santi could still be playing for Real Madrid, for Barcelona, for Spain. He's been playing astonishingly. Aged, yes, but he's been playing as well as he's ever played. It's remarkable. But the football has had a really defined and clear principle. It's been similar to what would be expected of Barcelona and what similar to what Xavi played in. Similar, I stress. But the big thing is that in Al Sadd, he's learned to communicate. He's learned decision-making. He's learned coaching skills. He's learned the idea of being a manager and taking defeat and victory and talking to the media, all these kind of things. These are different roles to the things he excelled at. And he excelled at almost everything, in my opinion, during his playing career. The point you make about evidence of handling the stress, handling the attention, handling the big club mentality, I think he showed that as a footballer. I think he became, you know, a footballer, statesman at Football Club Barcelona. He is absolutely aware of what makes the environment around the Camp Nou tick, what makes the fans happy, what makes the media happy. The coaching side, I think he has the innate principles of how this squad still should be playing, still without question, the formation, the ideas. They have had players bought in order to, the quality level across the squad has gone down because you don't get a young Piqué, Puyol, Busquets, Alves, Messi, go on, Villa, Eto, Xavi and Iniesta. You don't get that. So the quality level has gone down. But the idea, the players have been bought to play the same way. So there's a fit between Xavi and the current squad. The difficult things for him, and I think most difficult, is that we don't have time clearly to properly put meat in the bones of how bad the Barcelona situation is in terms of not just the money, but the panic, how they're living day to day. Joan Laporta has less good counsel around him than he had when he was a massively successful president from 2003 to 2010. So Xavi's going into an extraordinarily difficult situation. It's my personal view that you will see immediately order and rigidity and confidence. Whether that's enough to do all the things that are needed short term, he'll need players back from the injury list. But I think it's the right decision. I think he's the right man, short, medium and long term. Football's quixotic, so we'll see. You might be coming back to me in 8 or 18 months' time and saying, well, this isn't going well, Graham. Fair enough, can happen in football. But I think that if they make this decision happen, it will be one of their best choices in many, many, many months.
Will he bring in a backroom team? Is there getting the band back together? Is there an older, more experienced coach who'll be the conciliary? He's the public face in some ways of, and actually doing the making sure that the pace of the rondo is fast enough at training, making sure that everybody knows exactly where they're supposed to be?
That's a question to which I have to say I don't know, because the manacles that are on Football Club Bus on, I don't yet know if people like Alfred Schroeder and Henrik Larsson, and the club hasn't made this position clear, are out with Koeman. You'd suspect so, because they're both directly Koeman appointments. There's a man who was recently coach at under 21 level, I think with Denmark, who's a Catalan, who'd been brought back to the development side of the academy. He's going to be given charge, I think, of the squad this weekend in the league match. Whether he stays or not, I can't tell you. Finance will be the biggest answer to your question. How many people can Barcelona afford to contract? There will be a clear debate with financial fair play within La Liga about how easily Football Club Barcelona can pay Koeman off. He may have to wait for the remainder of his contract and hire Xavi. And these criteria, I know it's unusual when you talk about a big club on off the ball and you wonder about who'll be brought in, who'll be moved out. Money isn't usually an object. It is now. It genuinely is now. I'll be a little bit surprised if Xavi doesn't include his brother, who's been part of the staff at Al Sadd. I think having his brother who he trusts and who's talented around him will be key. In due course, not now, but in due course, Xavi has made it absolutely clear that what he wants as his assistant is Busquets. Busquets is still playing at an extremely high level, still feels competitive, won't want to be player assistant coach. But Busquets will become somebody both on the pitch and off the pitch upon whom Xavi relies extremely heavily.
Right. Look, the parallels, the sacking last night led people to go, oh, Man United aren't going to do this. It's, you know, the parallels with Solskjaer. There is a fear that Xavi might not be a world-class coach, because we don't know. And that's the bit where that's the leap into the unknown for everybody here.
Where genuinely is it not? If you're hiring an elite coach with a proven record, but you're a new club with a new culture, you don't know that it's definitely going to work. You can reduce the risk, clearly. If you say, you're a club, I don't know. In your mind, name any club you think of, and you're reaching out for Conte, for example. Who could I be thinking of? Because it worked at Chelsea, is it automatic that he'll work in the environment at Manchester United? Is that fear factor about, is he the right guy at the wrong time? Is he the right guy in the wrong situation? These things apply to even people with the most stellar track records. That's a fact. Now, go back to what I used in my ESPN column today. I know this, people don't talk about this very much, but one of the things Sir Alex Ferguson thinks he most benefited from throughout his career was his aggressive willingness to grasp a nettle. He saw a thorny issue coming, one which potentially would have far-reaching consequences, a decision he didn't particularly want to make, or a decision which carried with it a lot of pain for people around him who'd previously been important to him, whatever it might be. And listen, the length of his career, we're talking about a vast range of these types of decisions. And he preached that around him, other chairmen, other managers, other players, even other agents, would sit on a decision, would be fearful, would take the elements that you just asked me and say, well, what if, and what if, and they would, you know, instead of getting off the pot, you know, they wouldn't defecate. And the truth is that decisions like this come around far more often in elite football clubs than we have time to broadcast about. And those who, it doesn't mean that a speedy decision is always right, but Ferguson's doctrine was that if you let a big decision, like whether you were hinting at Conte or whether you're talking about Xavi Hernandez, if you let that fester and you take time and others move on, weigh up the consequences, accept the consequences, and just get on with it, having done a proper mental preparation about what is the right thing to do, don't then go, God, what will be said? What might happen? Will this threaten me? Is it the right thing to do? Your research, make your decision, and throw everything behind it. If it was good enough for Ferguson, why wouldn't it be good enough for Laporta?
It would be a really interesting sort of, if you had a time machine, experiments to see how Pep Guardiola, coming from the B team, would get on in this situation, because that is what we always reach for, Graham, is like, who can be someone like Pep, somebody who you take a little bit of a gamble on and turns out to be a genius.
Look, I agree with you, but we mustn't make a comparison, irrespective of what we think about the two Catalans. Pep was taking over an extraordinary squad. He's never hidden that, nor have you on this show. He was taking over a frustrated and unfulfilled Thierry Henry, Yaya Toure, Xavi, Iniesta. He had a season coaching off and on Pedro and Busquets in the B team, having promoted them himself. Nobody but him knew that they were ready to come through. He had a frustrated and angry and still prime Puyol, Eto. If you were to hand that squad to Xavi Hernandez, there's a fair argument that he might do something similar to what Pep did, because it was extraordinary and it was bubbling under. It had a rotten season, standards had declined. And there's one thing that needs to be talked about, and it's a fact. For whatever reason, Ronald Koeman's intensity of training regime, not just how hard they run, but the timekeeping ethics, the what's done on the training pitch, how much analysis is worked through, how much time, how much productive time players are expected to spend at the Joan Gamper Training Centre, had fallen long, long ago behind any of the elite levels around Europe. And it's a part factor in why you saw them being thrashed by PSG, thrashed by Roma, thrashed by Liverpool, thrashed by Juventus at home, thrashed by Bayern Munich. These things... That you can't change overnight in terms of seeing the results, but you can change that climate overnight. I'm not saying Koeman was as bad as Rijkaard, who had really difficult private life problems and lost the plot over the last year and a half at Barcelona. Koeman was just set in his ways. This chunk of time is enough. They didn't properly play. They didn't game out defensive set play situations. So Koeman kind of left them to make it up as they went along about how they defended set plays. I mean, that's just not something that's incredulous in the modern era. That's, you know, 50 years out of date. It's a small example. But these things can change automatically. And therefore, I'd like to believe that I don't have to do the time machine comparison between Pep and Xavi very often. It possibly needs teasing out, because if you value my point of view, I'm able to say it's extraordinarily different. I'm exponentially worse situation that Xavi is taking over. That's what it is. How often does your, both of you, how often does your perfect job come along?
Oh, never.
Perfect circumstances. Yeah. There you go.
Well, for Guardiola, it obviously was perfect, but it actually sounds like in a weird way, you see the opportunity there for him to come in, whip things into shape quickly and be a jolt of electricity through it, as opposed to, because for me, if you were the career advice, you'd be like, let's just see how Laporta handles this debt issue, and in 2 years time then you can ride to the rescue if the money's still there. But if it all goes tits up, Xavi, you don't want to be the one who's like,
you might counsel somebody else that way. That's not what you would do. And if you tell me otherwise, you're lying. If that equivalent opportunity came for you, you would take it.
Yeah, fair enough.
And men are women of, and not because it's Barcelona or there's a big salary. Men and women of talent back themselves. You can sit around and paddle about and think, oh, I'll go daisy picking for a couple of years to see if the debt situation gets. No, ridiculous. If you believe in your talent, if you've been used to a life of sacrifice, which brings you glory, brings you satisfaction, when you're football hungry, football addicted, as Xavi is, none of these things guarantee success. Clearly they don't. This is the reason I enjoy being on here is it's just, you've got such an educated audience. So clearly there is no magic wand. It's Xavi, it's Barcelona, therefore push, push, push. But no way would you turn it down, unless you're working for a president who you knew was hair trigger and who might damage you, and somebody over whom you had no influence whatsoever, no trust. Maybe then you might think, however good I am, that's a poison chalice.
Yeah.
The poison chalice about the lack of success, the diminution of quality in the squad, the debt situation, those things, you go like, I can make a material difference there. And I don't know if we're closing, but think about who's going to be important to Barcelona immediately. Gavi, Pedri, Nico, Balde, Ansu, Araujo. The youngest, 17, the oldest there, I think, 22. Xavi's ability to take those players and say, I've been where you are, follow my lead, do this, change that. Your body shape, your position, your timing, your pass, all that fits like a glove. Now, if you get that small bit right, and you get the leading lieutenants who've been quite good overall this season, if you think about Alba and Piqué and Busquets, you get them fixed and you coach the youngsters and there's a momentum behind you, decent things can be achieved in a short space of time while you set about the process of rebuilding and restructuring, which is a longer term thing.